agenda today is to listen to the Commission reporting here so that it enables the Portfolio Committee to report to Parliament. Can we get the apologies?
Good morning. The apologies from the Office of the Ministry for the DM and the Minister. The other apologies for Mr. Mandela, Honorable Mandela, Honorable Matlanyana, Honorable Musi, Honorable Chabalenka, Honorable Stay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. There's one item on the agenda. The presentation by the Commission. Did you?
Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members. Our sincere apologies for keeping the Honorable Members waiting. As the Chair has correctly said, the item on the agenda is the annual report of the Commission. I will first ask the Acting Chief Land Claims Commissioner to introduce himself and the rest of the Commissioners present.
Thank you, Chair, Honorable Members, Acting DG. My name is Sibusiso Gamete. I'm the Acting Chief Land Claims Commissioner. With me are all the commissioners and the staff from our national office. I'll ask them to introduce themselves, starting on my right.
Faith Jensen from the Western Cape.
Sydney Fongwane from Free State and Northern Cape.
Ele Maporto from the Popo.
Rumi Suboga from Gauteng, Northwestern Pumalanga.
Stanley Nkosi from the CRPC's office in Pretoria.
Morning, everyone. Maiso Sivo from Head Office.
Not a commissioner, but Chief Surveyor General Musho Riba.
Department of Rural Development and Land Reform has introduced a new approach with regard to implementation of the land reform program. And this has made us as the commission to review our approach in restitution and our strategic focus. And our focus for the coming years, Chair, is on research, finalizing the research, and finalizing all outstanding claims in accordance with the CRDP principles, and also looking at innovative approaches both to land acquisition and also to our settlement strategy. Under the settlement of claims, Chair, our statistics show that there's a decline in the pace of settling the outstanding claims. And the contributing factor to that has been the budgetary constraints that we have experienced in the past or in the year under review. We have approached Treasury for more funding. We had requested an additional funding of 3.5 billion, but we didn't get this. As a result of the financial constraints, we then had to prioritize a few claims that we could finalize with the limited funding. And as our report shows, Chair, we finalized 33 claims. We settled in terms of our administrative processes 138 claims, but those that were finalized were 33. The 98 were dismissed. We also looked at some of the complex cases like your forestry. We engaged the forestry department and also the your SAFCOs and other forestry companies to try and finalize those. And also with the Department of Public Enterprises, we have developed a model for the settlement of the forestry claims because that became a challenge. Now, on research, there's a large number of claims here that have been researched but not finalized. And the reason why we haven't finalized them, it's also because of the budgetary constraints. They are at the point where if we had money, we could have negotiated with the landowners and agreed on the settlement of those claims. And the other challenge here that we had during the year under review is that we had a number of court cases that were referred to the land claims court, both by the landowners and the claimants. Now, on the challenges, Chair, we still have a large number of claims that have not been assessed. Our information management systems on areas of research and validation of outstanding claims vis-a-vis gazetting and degazetting, that's still a challenge. The exorbitant land prices, it's still a challenge. And also the complexities of the remaining claims vis-a-vis the availability of human capacity within the commission and even outside the commission. The disputes, both the community and the border one, community disputes, those relating to borders and also traditional institutions. In the Western Cape, another challenge is unavailability of land, and we find that with the remaining claims, people are opting for restoration of land. Now, in situations where you don't have land available, then you have a challenge. I've talked to the budgeting constraints, Chair. the increase in court cases. We also have a challenge with the betterment claims, especially in the Eastern Cape. The other challenge has to do with our communication with stakeholders. A number of people are coming back to us to say, I lost the claim 10 years, 5 years ago, and I don't know what is happening. So that's another challenge. And we also found in the year under review, Chair, that where we thought we had a settlement agreement with the communities, for instance, where they had opted for land restoration, down the line they decide that some will take, will go for land restoration, others will go for financial compensation. So we had to grapple with that because it means that we need to review those cases and start with the process again to verify who wants financial compensation, who wants land restoration. And in some cases, we would have partially settled the claim. For instance, where the initial settlement agreement was for land restoration, we would have bought the land by then, and we find that as we proceed maybe to the second phase of the claim, then other people start then saying, no, we are opting now for financial compensation. Now, to deal with all these challenges, Chair, we have developed this turnaround strategy, which has the following elements: the litigation management plan, and also research to improve on our research, because most of the cases that we have lost in court, it's because of poor research quality report, poor research reports. We also have a challenge in terms of capacity, because most of the people that are in the commission, they don't have the necessary capacity to conduct research, especially on the complex claims. Also want to improve on our verification, on how we verify the claimants, to ensure that we don't pay ghost, and the people that receive the financial compensation are the people that are part of the land claim. We're also looking at settlement models, Chair, because we found that with the rural claims, the traditional settlement approach is not working. In most cases, with the urban cases, when we started, we knew that people were opting for financial compensation. But now that is changing. People want land, and most of this land is in large sugarcane plantations. Most of the land is in forestry. Most of the land is in the national strategic assets. Now, this is compelling us to review our settlement models. And most of the land is expensive, Chair, and also it's going concerns. Now, if you just restore that land to people without the necessary post-settlement or capacity for them to continue with that, it becomes a challenge. So we are looking at new settlement models, and also finance to ensure that we manage our budget. We manage our finances properly. It also has the communication element in it to ensure that we want to go to every person that has lost a claim or whose claim is still outstanding to make sure that we tell them what is happening to their claim, what is the way forward, and we want to improve on our communications with those people. And also it has to deal with information management. As I've mentioned, that information management and record keeping, it's a big challenge for us, Chair. We are rolling out the new strategy. It started this year in March, but we're also strengthening what had been agreed upon in the year under review. Financial performance, Chair. We spend our allocation of 2.3 billion under the year review. Unfortunately, because of the high land prices, we spend more money in return for lesser hectares of land. And about 90 1,294 households benefited from the restoration of 145,492 hectares of the land that we purchased. The next slide, Chair, deals with the outstanding claims. As reported in our report, by the end of March this year, we had about 3,852 claims that were outstanding. In the Eastern Cape, it's 515. In the Free State, it's 21. In the Northern Cape, it's 156. In Gauteng, it's 3. In Northwest, it's 193. In KZN, it's 1,329. Limpopo, it's 419. What had happened, Chair, because in the previous year, I'm told that we had reported that we had about 4,000 and something claims outstanding. Now, in Limpopo, there were 313 claims, urban claims, that were consolidated into one. In Mpumalanga, we have 645. Western Cape, we had 571. The cases that were before court, there were 271, Chair. In the Eastern Cape, we had 3 that were for referrals. We had 2 that for reviews, 5 for direct access, 1 for appeal. Okay, 11. In the Free State, Northern Cape, it was 12 that were referred to the court by the commission, and there were 3 for direct access, either by the claimants or the landowners. In total, there were 15. In Gauteng, the commission referred 9, and there were 3 for review, the review at the instance of the claimants or the landowners, and direct access also 4, Chair. At the instance of landowners or the claimants. Now, as you can see with the other provinces also, we had about 271 cases. The next slide, Chair, talks to the claims that were settled. Now, settled, as you can see, we're saying we settled the 98 claims that we, in terms of our business processes, 98 claims were dismissed and 33 claims were settled. The households that benefited from the claims that were settled were 9,294. The beneficiaries were 48,233. The female households were 4,177. And then the hectares, 145,492, and the next column deals with the land cost, what was paid for the land cost, the financial compensation, and the grants, both the development grants and the restitution settlement grants. And the total was 1,293,726.362.84. Now, as I've said, Chair, that we were allocated 2.3. Now, the question might arise, what happened to the other money? The other money, Chair, was used to reduce the backlog. We had claims that were on, in terms of our business processes, Section 42Ds that were signed but were not finalized, offers that were made and were not finalized. So we use the rest of the money to pay for those. The next slide, I think it appears in all our reports. It's just the cumulative statistics, what has happened since 1995 to 2010. And also the following slides deal with that in terms of the grants, what has happened since 1995 to 2010. And the next slide also, Chair, deals with the statistics on rural and urban claims, which is also accumulated in terms of what has happened since 1995 to 31 March 2010. Then the next slide talks to what I mentioned earlier, that it was 139 claims that were approved or settled in terms of our business processes. And out of those 139, there were 33 rural claims that we settled, and there were 98 that we dismissed. And the households, as I've shown in the other slide, 9294 total beneficiaries, the hectares, what constituted Section 42Ds and Section 42Cs, and the grants, and the total amount. Then the next, let's talk to our budget expenditure. The initial allocation was 1 billion, 1.5, and during the adjustment, we got an additional 480 million. Then it came to 1.969, and our total expenditure for the financial year was 1.967. On transfer of payment will be our grants, land acquisition, financial compensation. You can see on the compensation of employees, our expenditure was 218. We had an original allocation of 225, but during adjustment, it was adjusted to 218, and we spent that on the goods and services. We had 175, it was adjusted to 148. We spent 144. Then we had on payments, capital assets, during adjustment, we received 2.478 million and we spent 1.595. On the audit issues, Chair, we didn't have any qualifications as the Commission. There were matters of emphasis on the the commitment of 7.3 billion, as it was in the annual report of the department. The 7.3 billion, it's part of the amount that has been disclosed over years of 7.5 billion. It has been reduced to 7.3 billion. This amount talks to your Section 42Ds that we have signed, but we have not paid all the claims that we have settled in terms of our business processes, but we have not finalized. Section 42Ds, where offers have been made, our financial compensation, all the outstanding things. It also talks, another matter of emphasis was on the recovery of interest from conveyances. Now, we have a practice, Chair, that when we have finalized all our settlement documents, and we've agreed with the landowner that we are purchasing the property and the claimants are happy, then we enter into a sale agreement, and that sale agreement requires us to pay the first 50%. But we've paid the first 50% to the conveyancers trust account. Now, in terms of the Attorneys Act, that trust account is supposed to accumulate interest, and the interest that is accruing must be paid back to the department. Now, we have been struggling to get lawyers to pay that interest back to the department, and that's why we had this as a matter of emphasis in the audit report. We have put in place a system to ensure that we collect that money, because lawyers know that the money has to go to the client. It's invested in terms of Section 78A of the Attorneys Act. There was also a matter of emphasis, Chair, on the suspense account. Now, we have a huge suspense account. The suspense account, this is where we're paying financial compensation to beneficiaries. But because of some of the beneficiaries, we can't trace them anymore. We can't find them. We find that the money is kept in the suspense account. And we are trying now together with the department and other institutions where some of this money has been paid into, like it had, to come up with a campaign to try and trace the claimants. But we're also looking at the policy, which will say if we have done 1, 2, 3, 4 and the person cannot be found, then we'll have to look at whether that person will forfeit. expense account. In conclusion, Chair, as I have said, we have challenges. We are working on the challenges, and our focus areas, Chair, is to make sure that we improve on our reporting. For instance, you saw in the slide that I talked about where we say we settled, we got 2.3 billion, we settled 33 claims for 1 billion something, but we're not able to account in that slide for the rest of the money, which we use to settle the backlog. So we want to improve on that so that our reports will reflect everything that we have used the money for. And the second one, it's on the implementation. We want to fast track the settlement of claims. I think we've identified the number of bottlenecks and we are working on those. And in terms of both their internal and external, internal would include our business processes. For instance, the settlement value chain from research to the finalization of the claim. We want to set timelines, how long it should take. In some instances, it has taken more than 5 years, 6 years, but we think that is not effective and efficient, so we are working on that. And as I have said, Chair, we also want to improve on our communication because we believe that if our people know or our stakeholders know what is happening with their claims, there will be a peace because they will know that one day we'll settle the claim. Currently, there are a number of people out there who don't know whether the claim was approved or was declined and all that. The other thing that we are working at, Chair, as I've reported, we have in the year under review, we saw an increase in the number of court cases. We want to manage that. We call it the legal risk. And lastly, we are also working on our risk management to make sure that we minimize the risk as we go forward and trying to finalize the claims. We might expose ourselves to a lot of fraudulent activities, both external and internal. So we are working on the risk management plan. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Gamet. Do you wish to add anything, DJ?
No, Chair. Thank you.
This is an opportunity for members of the committee to raise questions of clarity and comments.
Chair, I was confused. Let me start by thanking the acting Michigan Land Commissioner, Mr. Gamete, for the presentation. I was confused when he was presenting the expenditure, budget expenditure, because what he was saying was not what was appearing on the slide. So maybe if I can just, you can just go back so that you check what you are presenting, is it the same with what was appearing on the slide? Then secondly, Chair, just to get the reasons for the underspending on the capital assets, because originally there was no allocation, but during the adjustment period there was a certain amount of money allocated, but when looking at the expenditure, I think you underspent by almost 900 and something thousand, if I'm not mistaken. Then the other one is that one of the interest. Maybe it can also be highlighted on how much interest is being owed by these conveyances, the money that is supposed to be paid back to you. Then, and also you have indicated the issues of where a situation where beneficiaries cannot be found, then you're thinking of developing a policy that the money be forfeited. I'm not sure, but is there no mean means of getting maybe the relatives, because you'll find that the process of settlement is taking too long. Then at the end of the day, when it is being finalized, then some of the you'll find a situation whereby some of the beneficiaries have passed on. So can't you trace the families instead of forfeiting the money, maybe getting some orders, letter of authority, the family may decide then to whom the money must be paid instead of the money being forfeited by the family. And the last one, Chair, is on the issue of monitoring. Are we really monitoring this strategic partnership to ensure that there's a really core management? Because it seems that if in some cases there are challenges with regards to this strategic partnership. Chairperson, I was saying that while Mr. Gamedi was presenting, the figures were not the same, because I was looking at the slide, but what you were presenting was not the same, were not the same figures. Can you check that? I don't know whether other members have noticed that, but you were mentioning different figures instead of the figures that are appearing.
Say how much did you spend this year on settlement of claims? We are talking about 1.2 at the bottom, on the last column at the bottom, 1.293.726, 362.84. And then I said, one might then raise a question to say, but you were given so much and you are accounting for this money. What happened to the other money? And that is why I was bringing in the point that we need to improve on our reporting, because we need to reflect the total amount that was allocated and how it was spent. Currently, the way that we report, we are not reflecting that.
I understand that. I want you to refer us to that slide where you show the other 1 billion that you spent on backlogs. Is there no report about that?
No. Not in this slide, Chair. Not in our report.
You have no report regarding this 1 billion?
Yes, Chair.
Are you suggesting there is no report at all?
Chair, what I'm saying is that in the slides, in our presentation, the way that you have accounted...
Is there somewhere here where you are reporting about it?
It's not in that report, Chair. What I'm saying is that we are reporting, we are giving in our annual reports a figure that we have been allocated this amount and we have spent this amount. But instead of us breaking it down to say this percentage was used for the backlog and this is what was used for the current, we are not reflecting that. And that is why I'm saying that as we go forward, we want to make sure that we improve on our reporting to be able to show exactly what was that the total amount used for. Because as I said, Chair, looking at the slides and our reporting, the question then might be asked, we are only reporting, reflecting the 1.2 billion. What happened to the rest? So I'm saying that's the weakness in our reporting.
No, you see, I understand all that. All I need to know, and I think the committee is curious, is there anywhere else where that report can be found?
Chair,
where?
It is in our annual report, financial.
One, yeah.
The financial.
In this report.
In
where are the financials? Not here.
They are in the department, in the safe one.
In the Auditor General.
Yeah, in the Auditor General.
Where's your report?
The
Auditor General was auditing you, but where is your report on the 1 billion?
Well, it will be in the office, Chair.
Are you suggesting you're not reporting at all?
No.
Keeping the file.
No, we are, Chair. We do report on the department.
Mr. Domel, I'm trying to help you. I don't understand why you're running away. You coming to Parliament, because remember, you are reporting to Parliament. You are not reporting even to this individual. You coming to Parliament and you say, Treasury gave us 2.3 billion rand. We spent 1.3 billion on the current settlement of claims. The other 1 billion we settled backlogs. And you're saying to Parliament, I don't have that report on the backlogs. It's in the office. But your report, therefore, is not incomplete. That's my question. If you were to say to us, there is that report somewhere, because this is your report, and in your report there is no report about it. That is why I thought it may be in the slides. But it's also not in the slides. Where is it? And it's not a difficult question to answer.
Chair, the report that reflects the total expenditure of the department, one, it will go to our departmental report as it was reflected during the departmental briefing. It will also go to our annual report. It is here, Chair.
This is what I've been trying to go back where?
actually. On page 53, it's 1.3 bill. So I want you to now take us to the other bill.
Chair, if you look on page 52, on page 52, which shows our budget expenditure, and it talks to our transfer payment of 1.967.
We're using the same terminology. Transfer payment refers to money transferred by you to some other agency, or is referred to what?
No, it refers to our payment for land acquisition, our grants, and financial compensation.
So you're transferring that amount of money to other agents?
To other people when we buy land. So that whole amount is accounted for. I think what I was alluding to, Chair, in my slides, because in terms of our report, we just account for the total figure.
Yeah.
And in our slide, we try to break it down. But I'm saying we want to improve on that so that we must reflect what the 1.967 was spent on, which means we must be able to say it settled these claims for this year, but it also dealt with the backlog. The way it is now, someone might ask a question that if we look at your, it says you spend 1.2 billion. So I'm saying, Chair, going forward, we want to ensure that we give this committee full information that accounts for every cent that we have spent, which shows and reflects that this year we might have spend 1.233 claims, but the rest of the money will have been used on claim 1, claim 2, claim 3, which are part of the battle. Thank you, Chair.
And did you spend this amount of money with the Treasury permission?
Yes, Chair.
But were you not expected to disclose it in your as accrual under accruals, if I'm not mistaken, that you have used the money to pay the backlogs? Was it not supposed to be disclosed here in this report separately from what is indicated under transfer?
Chair, thank you. I think that is what I'm trying to say, that our reporting, we might be find one thing on it, because we're not disclosing that some of the money was useful in the year under review to settle these claims and then the backlog. But there is a general understanding with Treasury that we are using some of the allocations in every financial year for the backlog. I think that is why I was saying that we need to improve on our reporting so that we can reflect that, because that might become a matter of emphasis in the future.
Not only that. My own understanding is that when you brought your budget together with the departmental budget to Parliament, for Parliament to approve, we approved that amount of money for current expenditure, not backlogs, because nobody informed the committee on the budget. And when you made the adjustment, and when you went to Treasury for the readjustment, you didn't inform us. I don't know whether the Appropriation Committee did approve that. You see, because we are using us as a rubber stamping process only. Other important institutions are told, but not this one.
Chair, I accept that, and I think this is one area that one is highlighting that we need to improve on that, because we have to reflect that we have this backlog. And when we request funding in the Appropriations Committee, when I was presenting to this year, I had indicated to them that in future our request for funding, we'll have to also talk to our backlog, and I think that's what we'll also have to do with this committee. I didn't know that in the past that was not done, but going forward, Chair, that's what will happen.
We requested from the commission the operational plan, the same way as we requested from the department the operational plan. It was never given. Because the operational plan, if we had sight of it, we would have picked this up. And if there are changes in the operations, we would have been able to be exposed to it. And I think we should, till now we have no facility for matters of emphasis. We have a facility to demand the information so that we provide our oversight function properly. Can we note that, because then from now onwards we have to work like that. If we don't, we may not even entertain your report. Yes.
Sorry, Chair, thank you. I think in terms of the of the disclosure that you spoke about, if you're looking at the annual report of the department, you must bear in mind that there's two structures in terms of reporting. Now, if you look at the annual report of the department, the commitment has been disclosed.
What is the report?
Okay, these are the financial statements, Chair, of the department for the given year. And the $7.3 billion that the CLCC is talking about has been disclosed.
It is not in their report, though. Remember, this is an institution of the state created by a separate act, and they have a requirement to report to Parliament. They have not reported, at least to us. Maybe other institutions that are more important than us, they have, not to us. Let's assume we didn't see that report. We were conducting this hearing with the commission only. Where would that information be? See, Mr. Gamet is doing a correct thing by disclosing it. It's not at fault at all. What we're suggesting is this committee should do its work properly because we provide oversight. You know, oversight with one eye is not oversight.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Bamet mentioned on his presentation that the finalization of claims declining just because of the budget. But how are we going to meet the target? How are we going to meet the target if we always have a problem with the budget? Secondly, KZN is always the highest in this court cases, 94. And maybe I would like to know the reason why we have so many cases in court in KZN. And we have mentioned that we are going to manage these court cases. But how are you going to manage them? Because I think they put this in court just because you are unable to have enough budget to pay the farmer. Also, what worries me on page 10, I think, KZN is the highest outstanding claim. I would like to know the reason. 1,329. Slides 12 and 14, you mentioned the grants there. When we
has been brought to our people, we find them collapsing, not productive. The people are complaining that they haven't got money. It seems as if now we've simply buy the farms and hand over without giving the occupants the grants to develop the farm. I can appreciate to understand this, because wherever we go, we find the same problem. Thank you.
Mr. Commander, you have said that you have developed a litigation management plan.
It's not Cameo.
Thank you. I accept my apology. You have said that there is a litigation management plan you have formulated. Is it possible that you can finish us with that plan? Because I think it will form part of our oversight. Secondly, again, we have also have developed a process of dealing with the complex claims. For example, the National Park, you have made an example of that one. I would also love that we can have an access to that process we have formulated. In your report, you have also stated that there are some claims you have repudiated or dismissed. Now, my problem I'm having regarding that one, in your report as well, you have said that you have a problem of the standard that is questionable of your research, which might give you now a wrong information at times. Haven't you probably dismissed the claims that were valid because of the information you have? Another question is, my colleague, Honorable Nyamabila, has put this question, but not in the manner I would. I have also prepared it to put it to you. Regarding the interest you have to recover from the attorneys, to me, I believe her question was, how much is the interest? I believe that is a very big amount of money. What strategy now have you formulated to collect those interests from those attorneys? Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Any further questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is, in fact, not a question, but it's just a concern around the way the Commission is conducting itself when it comes to the regions. The continuous change of officials that are employed to go and deal with the local communities with regards to the claims that were lodged. You could find that today you are seeing somebody, the next day he's not in the office, then there's somebody else who could require that the community should come forward with an information so that the commission could actually establish the history of the removal, forcible removal of those people. And again, that has led to most claims at this moment not being considered as valid case, because once those committee members go to the office of the land jobs in Trimersburg, they could be told that there is no information. They should bring forward information with regards to those claims. It's either there are no files with regards to those claims, and that pushes the attitude to those community, to those claimants, that they sort of have no more trust in what is happening in the office of the Land Claims Commission in the province. And again, Mdoana pointed out one thing with regards to the relocation of people to some of the farms that were claimed as safe. If then the claimants have been relocated, you could find that it's not actually the people who were forcibly removed from those areas that are pick become beneficiaries to those funds, which in some cases result in those projects being vandalized. So I think that's the main concern that I have. Lastly, Chairperson, with the issue of the claims on forestry, understand when you go through the province along the coast in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, you could find that there were claims that were launched by local people, only to find that when segments were sort of taken into consideration, it's only people who are not local people who have benefited out of those. You could look at the forest in Ingwa, or maybe they are privately owned by SAPI or Mondi or SAPCO, I'm not sure, but on the areas of Kwambonambi, which is the community from Kwambonambi area as well as Sokulu, I think part of them as well, part of those are even found in, along the coast in Port Danforth, where you could find that it's not the local people who were forcibly removed from the area school. At the end of the day, benefited. That's my, that was just my concern. Thank you.
From the fact that when the commission decided to re-engineer focus, we focused on research, conducting research, and that was done internally. So we saved on consultants because before we used to engage a lot of consultants to help us with research. And secondly, since we didn't have sufficient money, we could not take claims, for instance, to the process of evaluation. So we also saved on evaluation. So that is why you'll see that we haven't spent almost 900,000 on that. The interest owed under the financial year under review by the conveyancers, it's 17 million. Now, I also talked about our suspense account as it came as a matter of emphasis from the auditors. I think, Honorable Member, I was not saying that what we are going to do is that we forfeit this. But what we are going to do, as I said, is that we are going to have a campaign. We'll make sure that by the time we get to a point where we say we can't find the beneficiaries, we've gone to every family to even see that there are no wills or anything that the person might have left in terms of who will inherit the money. But also, we are working closely. I will have also to go to the masters of the High Court in terms of the Guardian Fund and all those things. So we're not just going to apply a policy. We'll make sure that we trace the beneficiaries. We'll use print media, we'll use electronic media and all that. So it's not just the decision that we'll take without identifying. And even in situations where we find that the person died interstate, we'll make sure that we help whoever's left, the children or whatever, to either form a trust so that they can benefit from it. I think what we are saying is that at one point we'll have to deal with this suspense account, because you can't keep the money of the poor people sitting in the account when there are people out there who need it. So we need to trace and find those people. I can make that available to the committee chair. Chair, I think I would want to commit myself to making it available at the later stage than to say thumbs up and say I know what it is. But I'll make it available. And the last question that was asked by Honorable Anwanyi was on monitoring the strategic partners. Chair, it's true. We've had a problem with strategic partners. And I think this is what has led the department as a whole to reformulate its approach to strategic partnerships. And that is why now you have the problem of recapitalization and development, which is aimed at ensuring that we get credible strategic partners. We have a system of ensuring that that strategic partnership works, and we build monitoring and evaluation systems. And I think any engagement from our side or whatever strategic partnerships that we are having now, that will be monitored by the recapitalization and development unit in the department. The questions that from was about us meeting the target because of the declining budget. We are talking to Treasury, as it has been said, that we have over the years disclosed the commitment of the 7.5 billion. We are talking to Treasury to say we need to more funding to deal with the backlog. And at one point, Treasury had asked us that if tomorrow we were to give you the 7.5 billion, will you be able to spend it? So, which means they were saying, do we have systems and all that? And that is what we're working on, and that is part of our turnaround strategy. If we can implement that turnaround strategy and diversity, I think we'll meet the target. I think it's just dependent on how soon do we get our house in order, and how soon can we get the money. And I'm not saying we are going to Treasury to say, Treasury, we need this money in 1 year. Our plan is that this must be staggered so that with the resources that we have in terms of capacity, we'll be able to meet the target. Jason,
before you leave, there are three problems that have arisen in the past relating to this particular issue. And I don't know when you're referring to capacity building of the commission, you're referring to those aspects, the challenges. One, when you buy a property in 2000, but you pay in 2011, is the payment the same price as when you identified the farm and settled? Or is it at a different price in relation to the year on which you pay? Because we have had situations where you buy a farm as a going concern at that time, but it collapses over time because the farmers claim that they cannot continue to capitalize on the farm because it's no longer theirs. They cannot trade on the farm, it's no longer there. And the settlement of this claim can
can take the farm over at a particular point. So it declines into actually buying the piece of land rather than a farm. That's the first part. The second part is the farmers themselves take the department to court for the delay. And the court demands of the department to pay the amount that the farmer demands. Is it the same amount? It sounds like the same question, but it's a different question, because the farmer who makes the demand is no longer you making the offer to purchase. And the last one relates to the two unrelated questions, but because of the delay itself. You suggest that your research has been discovered to be poor, and therefore you make the decision about the price and everything on the basis of poor information supplied to you by your service providers. You have other situations where the claimants occupy the land forcefully instead of waiting for you to settle. But this last one relates to future problems, that you received some claims before 1998, up to 1998, but you are going to settle those claims way 2012 or so. We were given the example of Malamala, we were given the example of sugarcane farms, we were given examples of forestry claims like Honorable Tabekulu here. Will that be determined at that time in future in terms of the cost? Because this relates also to what you call a backlog, your estimation of 7.5 billion. How will you deal with it?
Thank you, Chair. I must acknowledge, Chair, that in terms of our claim settlement chain, we have been lacking on that because, like you say, you research a claim 19 or 2000, but the only time you settle this claim, it's 2010, which means in terms of our business processes, we don't have any timelines that we have to comply to. I mean, it doesn't make any business sense that you engage now. By the time you settle, it's 10 years later, because many things would have changed in the farm, and that will impact on the price that you have to pay. And it is true.
Sorry, I want to help you really, seriously. TG, you reported here when we were dealing with Ingonyama and also yourselves that you met specific targets and some targets were not met. Does the Commission have any targets?
Yes, Chair, they do.
Why do they take 10 years to settle a claim? What's the target?
I think the commissioner is pointing out to the weakness in their system, as a whole. If you look at the period under review, there was a target to be settled in this specific period, but due to the reasons he has explained, that target could not be met. Only the 33 that he reported on were settled. He furnished the reasons. But I think it goes back to the point that he's making, that turnaround plan, to say we've got to do the business of the Commission differently. We said yesterday, Chair, this is not going to be a problem of the Commission alone. It is now the problem of the Department, because as you would see, the finance would impact on the overall finances of the department. But not only that, in terms of the delay, as you quite correctly say, you can end up buying a piece of land, not a farm, because of the time lapse between the time of lodgement and finalization. I think he's pointing out to a real problem, which is part and parcel of the turnaround strategy we're talking about.
But did you,
Let's take a child who goes to school at grade one, is expected to finish 12 years later. And the parent who has a child for 22 years between grade 1 and grade 12 must be worried. Why does it take so many years for the department to make this realization?
Chair, this realization is not a new discovery. I think it's going to be looked at in the context of a number of claims that were lodged up until the cutoff date on the 31st of December 1998. You look at the number of the cases that have been dealt with to date. I think that is the context from which we need to start to look at this. We do acknowledge that, yes, we solved 75,000 claims, perhaps to the exclusion of the remaining claims that have suffered as a result of the focus in the last 16 years on the 75,000 claims that were attended to. We are saying, having done that, we've got to find a way of dealing with the remaining number of claims to expedite their settlement. It does not mean that since 1995, at the inception of the commission, nothing has happened. Of the 79,000 claims were resolved. So indeed, there is this backlog now that is remaining that needs to be dealt with. And it is a serious concern for the department, and hence we were saying even yesterday, it is not going to be their problem alone. We must come back to the committee with a very clear plan going forward in terms of how we are going to resolve it.
The more the DG speaks, the more it creates more problems. See, DG, you have set yourself a target as a department, not for the commission, of 30% of agricultural and commercial land to be transferred to black people. Now, that has nothing to do with claims or restitution issues. It has to do with the distribution of land, isn't it?
No.
We're not talking about restitution now. We're talking about distribution, not claims. Because my logic covers the bit of the 4,000 that's remaining. If you are going to handle this situation as Kamede raises, where your 4,000 takes longer to settle because of the complexity, the costs, and everything, it definitely, because the capacity of the department to acquire the rest of the land from running commercial farms is going to be sapped and reduced by the 4,000. Is it not? And therefore you will have to need an extra capacity to deal with the remaining 20%, because yesterday we were told 7 million hectares have been acquired by up to now. You need to move to 30 million. No. 24 million. Yes, from 24.9 million minus 7. You need to cover the rest. But the capacity of the department is being sapped by the 4,000 claims that are remaining. How do you deal with the other capacity of the department? So the more we speak to the commission about their pace, quality of research, resources, and everything, the more we get worried about the actual department itself. Especially because the department is shifting its own focus from acquisition of land to actual rural development. So even more and more of that pace is dropping. When are we going to get there? We need to formulate a bigger picture rather than a year-to-year process. Because we still have to deal with the surveyor general here. When we want to talk about surveying of the land, we want to talk to him about that. But my worry is the turnaround strategy is talking about relates to research. Where's that page? It is not dealing with the overall strategy, the bigger picture.
And that is what I'm reporting to you now. To say the commission, yes, you were right when you say it's not their problem alone, it's a departmental problem. But the department is not giving us the strategy to have a sense and confidence that this is where you're going to as a department. I'm just raising this because for us, it is going to be one of the most important things going forward.
Chair, I note the concern of the chair. I want to refer to what we said yesterday. This is a challenge we acknowledged. And we are saying part of the planning process, the planning cycle of government, we are supposed to be developing a strategy for the MTF for the next 3 years going forward. We are saying we are now embarking on that particular exercise. We said the turnaround plan of the commission is just a sub-plan of the broader strategy, which we have not tabled yet. So, Chair, we appeal that you allow us that particular period. The concerns we are raising are very concerns. We said we've been directed by the minister to come up with a turnaround plan. The turnaround plan is not going to look at the commission in isolation of the entire land redistribution, the entire land reform program. It's not going to be looking at in isolation of the broader rural development program, but we'll be looking at the totality of the mandate of the department and say, given the resources at our disposal, we've made our own submissions to National Treasury requiring bids. We don't know how much money we will get. But when we get clarity, we'll then say, with the resources at our disposal going into the future, what is it that we can do, looking at the totality of the mandate of the department? Thanks, Chair.
The commission is saying to us on slide 4 of their presentation, the Commission's focus is on research, alternative settlement models, innovative approaches to acquisition of land for restitution, and so on. And Honorable Ndapane requested two documents from the Commissioner, and the Commissioner had made a commitment that those two documents will be made available. One, it will be the turnaround strategy of the department to deal with these issues, and the other one will be the litigation management strategy so that you can get rid of paying money for litigation. And Prince Zulu has raised the issue about KZN in particular, which seems to be weighing heavily on the commission because it does look like other provinces are getting out of the water, but KZN is sinking deeper into the water. You see that the department is being dragged or diverted from its main focus, which is rural development, by these problems that you yourself have identified. It will help us as a committee to receive that strategy so that when we look at what you're actually doing, and because remember that you still have to give us an operational plan now, because we no longer are satisfied with the strategy alone. We want the operational plan. It does look like that out of the strategic plan and the budget, there are so many other changes that take place during operation, which makes it impossible for us to monitor your activities, because there is no guide. The strategy is a big story. Hides the details inside. As people say, the devil is in the detail. Thank you, Chief. Can you continue with answering your... I know that I'm waiving my right to receive answers to my own questions. I'll give you back to Honorable Prinsu. He was asking the question about KZN. Can you go back to that?
Thank you.
I'm not waiving them permanently. I'm waiving it just for now.
Thank you, Chair. I have answered the first one, that you are going to meet the target. Like I've said, and thank you for your have also, Chair, that we need to look at a bigger picture. And I think this is what we're doing. The turnaround strategy, Chair, is saying to us, here's an organization in distress. It was normal, but now it got into this big hole, and it's sinking. How do you take it back to normality? So that's what it's trying to do, that we've identified, and that is why in the presentation we're limiting ourselves to certain things that can take us to normality, but there's a bigger picture which we'll be able to finish, which is the departmental strategic plan going forward, Chair. So, and that will help us in terms of meeting the target. But I think before we do that, we had to identify what got us into this hole and to find out how we can get out. That it's true.
I'm telling you, I'm reading the bill tomorrow. The commission is big hole.
I think that's a metaphor, Chair. I think it's true, Chair. KZN has the highest in the court cases. I think this is also because of the number of claims that we had in KZN, and also the fact that it involves large sugar cane plantations where the landowners are challenging the validity, but also because of the conflicts within the communities and your traditional institutions. How are we going to manage the court cases? Like it has been said, we have developed a litigation plan. We have identified the problems. Why are we in court? Like the Chair said, one of the things that has made us to have these court cases, it's because landowners have been sitting there. The process and the visit. Once you research the claim and you find the prima facie a justification of validity, then you gazette. And once you gazette, then Restitution Act says, once the claim has been gazetted, anything that has to happen which can impact on the land that is being claimed has to be notified, has to be reported to the commission. The interpretation of most farmers is that once the claim has been gazetted, then they can sit back and do nothing because the Act says do nothing. But I think the Act is specific. It says you can't sell that farm, you can't pledge or take any bond, any improvements has to be. Now, in most cases, then you find that most of those farmers, they then decide that they're not going to do anything. They just sit there and leave the farms. And that they then come back to us and say, you made us not to develop this. We need you now to buy this, the one to force us to buy those. And that is one of the things that makes us see this increase in the court cases. Now, we haven't engaged them because maybe the last time we engaged the farm is when we do the research and send them the gazette notice. But instead of us of following up to say this is happening, this is where we are and that. And that has created the uncertainty. And this is why now you see these cases going to court. If we start with this communication strategy that we're talking about, when are we engaged with? They become part of the process. Maybe what we are also proposing or trying to do is that at least every month we send out some information to those outstanding claims to say this is where your claim is and all. Because that uncertainty then makes them want to take us to court. So I think we will manage with the turnaround strategy that we're talking about. Again, the other question, KZN has the highest outstanding claims because of the number of the claims that we have received. It's true, that is it. The farms are collapsing, and I think the minister has reported on that. But also, I think this is now, when we started with the presentation, we said that a re-engineering of the in the department, especially with the CRDP principles, has sort of helped us in terms of saying, how do you address the question of sustainability of this fund? In the past, we'll have a pre-settlement, and then look at post-settlement once we've transferred the fund. But now the CRDP principles are saying to us, before you even settle the fund, look at the post-settlement issues. And I think that will help us going forward. But in dealing with the collapse farms and diversity, I've spoken to the recapitalization and development program. But also the department has now a section called STRIF. And we are involved in all this. We are identifying, that is why I said, we are analyzing all these farms to see which one is working, which one is not working. And then we are getting STRIF and recapitalization and development unit to get involved in it. And then there were three questions or two requests for information from Honorable and Apan, who will make the litigation management plan available to the committee. We'll also make the strategy to deal with the complex claims available to the committee. There was a question about claims that have been dismissed. The only criteria that we use is Section 2 of the Restitution Act. That's what guides us whether the claim is valid or not. So it's not based on research. It's whether it meets the criteria set in section 2. Now, once you have this claim and then you do the research, certain things that you want to your research to help you with, it's whether those claimants were removed, when were they removed, who owned the farm and all that. But the critical or important criteria that we used is Section 2. So we wouldn't have dismissed claims based on insufficient information. The strategy to collect the interest, I've said it's 17 million that is below. It's part of our litigation management plan. And I must say, I mean, the interest, the Fidelity Fund, the law societies are supposed to be part of our partners in that, because this is a statutory obligation on the lawyers. Now, we might have slipped because we didn't follow it through that channel, but if tomorrow we write to the law society and say, lawyer so-and-so owes so much money in terms of Section 78A investment, the Fidelity Fund will come in and the law society. So that's part of the litigation plan. Thank you, Chair.
Missing claimant, forestry claims, benefiting, see the forestry claims, Department of Forestry sold the forest to private buyer.
He's asking that question, why? Why not give it to the business?
I think I alluded to the strategy that we have developed in terms of settlement of forestry claims. Unfortunately, it was not just the commission. It's a number of government departments. And the strategy says, because one of the cost of those forestry claims, what we do is that as the department, we will not physically restore the land to the communities. What we restore the title, and then you then set up this settlement models like co-management and all that, so that people cannot physically leave unless there's an area that can be exercised for occupation, but they can work and benefit on the forestry. Now, in terms of who benefits, if there's a land claim, we ensure that the land claimants benefit. And now what we have also looked at is that you might find that those who were removed from that area all over the place. There might be people that are now working around the area or who are working on the forest. And we are also saying, let's include also those as part of the benefit. Now, on the Mbonambi claim...
Before you go specific, you, I don't know whether this is an intention or established principle already, because for once you will be sending a message to Bill and others that there is a win-win situation for both those who bought the forest from the state and the communities themselves. But you're not explaining that properly so that they can understand. And I'm sure many people in this room did not understand what you actually were saying.
Chair, what I was saying is that with forestry claims, the large forestry claims, where there is a claim and people want the restoration of land, the agreement is that we cannot physically restore or give them the land to occupy and live. But what we do is to give them the ownership of the land and allow the economic activity, which is the forestry, to continue. But then the arrangement is that they must participate in the management of that co-ownership, and also we introduce this beneficiation scheme to make sure that they continue, the business continue, but they also benefit. What we have, just to give an example with Mondi, Chair, is that we have said to Mondi, we need you to give us an empowerment plan for, depending on the rotation, because sometimes it takes 7 years for them to harvest. Let's say we say give them two rotations, 14 years. A partnership with the community, and we say to them, in this partnership, let's divide it into three stages. 14 years divided by three. What we expect in the first phase is that 30% of the management of that operation must be the beneficiaries, which means you must make sure that in the first 4 or 5 years, you capacitate them, you train them, you provide bursaries for universities and all that. And in the second phase, 60% must be beneficiaries. So that in the last phase, it's 100%, and that's when you exit. So that's what I'm trying to say, Chair. So that arrangement allows the economic activity to continue and to be sustainable. Because if we were just to give the forest, and in most cases you give the forest without Mondis or Sapis joining hands with the people, the next day you'll find that there's nothing in there. Thank you, Chair.
I did not stop you from being specific. I said before you go into specific. So you can make it in one of the examples. You wanted to make it.
I've given an example with the Mondi, but what I'm tomorrow, Chair, and I'll be in Mbonambi because we have a meeting with them. I would like to submit to this House a report on Mbonambi.
Thank you, Chair. There is no round further questions because I've not seen any hands. Seems like I've been fighting questions. I'm not. I'm just indicating that the Tapa.
In the litigation, what I want, I forgot to put this question. Where does this budget come from, the litigation budget? And secondly, how much will the litigation cost in the 2009-2010 financial year? Finally, in what you have just said regarding the Mondi arrangement, it sounds very lucrative and very interesting. But what has been said by my colleague, Honorable Mungo Nyamabila, that it needs to be monitored. Thank you.
When looking at page 48 of your 2008-2009 report, annual report, somewhere you talk about the launch of the settlement and implementation support strategy, which was launched by the minister around, by the then minister around February. Page 48 of the 2008-2009. Because that's when the 11th report is is that strategy still on? Have you started to implement it, or it has been replaced by the turnaround strategy? Again, somewhere in your 2008-2009 report, you talk of this, so that in future, or one of the project plan. Okay. In your 9-10 report, page 51, you talk of the land parcel project, which is at 95%.
Mm-hmm.
You talk of the project pellet, which is at 60% completed. Then you talk of the implementation of the electronic data management system project. When looking at your 2008-2009 report, nothing is happening to 95%. Then happening to 59.3%. Okay. Where is it? Just checking it. The one on the settlement and implementation support strategies on page 48 of your 2008-2009 report. But when looking at those projects, I was are you progressing? Because the 95%. You will engage the 2% in 1997. That fraud prevention plan and the risk register, national and last week, has been completed. I think now we're supposed to tell us about the impact which has been made by that risk register and also the fraud prevention plan. Because in your 8 and 9 reports, you told us that the plan is there, but you want to get the impact. Whether does the plan has an impact or assist you in achieving what you wanted to achieve with that plan. So with the percentage, Chair, I think there's a little bit of cut and paste, or just add 1%. Boglia reported 8 and 9, it is 60. Now Boglia 9 and 10, it is 61% of what? I think you need to tell us which is the land parcel project, iphela nini, so that we can be able to track. Because 2008 and 2009, 90%. 2009-2010, 95. Should go figure 2014, Mr. Lamo 97. So I think we need to have the deadlines with Lama project, 2%, iphela nini. Especially the land parcel project, and this, in the pellets, so number percent, 60% complete. When are these projects going to be finalized? So that you can be able to track whether we're making it or breaking it. Thank you.
In your report, you indicated in the 2009-2010, 7,362 beneficiaries benefited from the 239,990.5 hectares. In the Commission's report, I know the distinction, I'm not making a mistake. I just want to know whether the figures that you have reported on cover the figures that they're giving us today. Because today they are saying, when you said 11,362 beneficiaries out of 239,990.5 hectares, today we are told 9,000 by the Commission now, 9,294 beneficiaries out of 145,492 hectares. So I want to know that this 145,492 hectares are included in the 239,990.5 hectares or not, because we want to check whether the figures are different to be added together, or the other figure is included in the other figure. Similarly with the beneficiaries, because if they are separate in terms of beneficiaries, then it means the 9,294 beneficiaries of the current financial year plus the backlog added together must be subtracted from your 11,362, which means your hectares have benefited 1,000 and so on beneficiaries. That is what we want to understand.
Yes, Chair. In the annual report we presented yesterday, the two programs are reported on separately. Yes, the hectares that were projected by the Commission and what was actually achieved are separate from the, that is under Program 4 in the report we presented yesterday. And on the other one is Program 5, which is also reported on. In other words, it's two different sets of hectares because it's two separate budget line items. And therefore, the beneficiaries also are different. They're not the same.
This is becoming more complex because if you consider the statement by the Auditor General in terms of Program 5 being intangible, and yet you're suggesting that the figures here are real, reflective of the benefits directly to the beneficiaries, there's nothing intangible there. I'm not asking you to comment on the Auditor General. I'm saying sometimes for our own purposes, we do not have to engage in a research project to understand what you are reporting. We need to be able to take you at face value. But it looks like comments by the Auditor General are forcing us to have to dig a little bit deeper to understand what you are actually reporting. Because if the figures should be added together, therefore 20.6 thousand beneficiaries in one financial year plus the bit of the backlog should be reported in this current financial year instead of 11, because when we read 11 yesterday we thought that is too little. Today we're getting another 9. We think that if they're added together, then they make 20,000 beneficiaries. Then if the hectares also have to be added together, then 145,000 plus 239,000 and a bit must add to a bigger figure of hectares achieved. There's nothing intangible in that.
That's correct, Chair.
Before I get excited,
fine, go ahead. Chair, I'm saying your assessment. That if you add up the hectares reported by the Commission at 45,000 or so, plus the 233, they are actual, plus the beneficiaries that we reported on, and they could be added together. We are saying these are the figures that are here in the annual report.
cause for us to make conclusions, unless Honorable Ndapane has no follow-up question.
He has not yet answered.
He has not answered, okay.
Thank you, Chair. with our litigation, Chair, we normally use the state attorney, and they are the ones who appoint independent law firms or advocates. In terms of the assistance that we provide to the claimants, what we'll have to pay in terms of Section 29 of the Act, the money in most cases comes from our goods and services that we use to pay for litigation expenses. If there's a court order that we'll have to pay, then it will come from our capital transfers, because it will be an acquisition of property. If we are compelled, for instance, to pay landowner A for his property that we had a sale agreement, then it will come from our capital transfers. It is true, Chair, that we need to monitor the strategic partnerships, the Mondis and all that. And I think that is why I alluded earlier on that the department has now a dedicated unit, which is the recapitalization and development, to ensure that these strategic partnerships, they work. Now, they've developed their rules, prescripts in terms of monitoring, how do you appoint all this. It's true, we'll monitor those. And I think just the last question that was asked by on the settlement and support strategy, I think it has informed the way forward of the department in terms of post settlement for all the restitution projects. And I think this is not just the restitution, those that we are recapitalizing and those that we are developing. So it's not as if the strategy has been abandoned. The turnaround strategy has nothing to do with the settlement and support. The turnaround strategy is saying, how can we do things differently and how do we become more efficient and effective? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. There's no need for us to sit here and look at each other and cross our fingers. two documents in this regard. They may be in one document, but separated in terms of operation. We will be interested in specific areas like Western Cape and KZN. In Western Cape purposes, the speaker wants us to submit a report that says this is how Western Cape will deal with the petitioners, because we've got a petition in this regard, and the report submitted to us indicates specific actions to be taken. We'll be interested in finding out, because the speaker would be interested in finding progress in that regard. Similarly to KZN, the lengthy cases and the backlogs there. You can't say that, please, you can't. Mr. Vice General has been here for so many hours. He can't sit here and have a free lunch. There's no reason. No, Mr. Vice General, we're going to talk to you. I just wanted to finish with she's trying to shield you from talking to you. No, there's no free lunch. You have promised Commissioner, you will show us how you said that you have identified, I don't know whether it's another branch, where you have identified 800 farms or pieces of land where your Section 42D grants will be focused. I'm not sure whether it was last year's financial year or this year, this coming financial year, and the budget, the recapitalization branch. Which one?
The recapitalization and development program covers both land redistribution and land restitution. And what was the number that we gave was 503 that we gave.
800. This is 800. Yeah. We're not operating on memory, we're operating on written material. It's 800.
That's why. Yeah.
And they confirm. It's 8. Are we wrong?
Oh.
It's written, 800. It's in the report.
Well, it's approximately, Chair.
No, you can't say 500 and approximately 800. The step between the two is too long. So you were meant to report this financial year on that 800 or the next financial year?
Chair, I think in the report you said we had identified 800 projects for recapitalization, which means those are the projects that we'll have to report on. Yes. So we will be reporting on those, because we said we have identified them for recapitalization.
In which financial?
They were identified in the under review, so we'll be reporting on them this financial.
When you say this financial year, you're not referring to 10 and 11. You're referring to 9 and 10.
We said in the 9 and 10, we have identified those and prioritized them for recapitalization.
Okay. Is there a budget in this financial year for recapitalization? Or is this only going to be available in the next financial year?
Che, when you're referring to this financial year, you're referring to 10 and 11. Yes, there is
no.
A budget.
Have we started 10 and 11?
Yes. We are in 10.
But why is this report saying this financial year? When is it referring to next year? The year under review is 9 and 10. It's not 10 and 11.
Chair, the report Sorry for that. You're saying we have identified those for recapitalization. Now, identifying is a process because you need to then go and do an assessment in terms of what is the status, what needs to be done, and then you prioritize those.
Then my question is still relevant, is you. In the current financial year you are reporting on, there was no recapitalization.
No, there wasn't recapitalization and development, Chairperson. I think here what was being announced in the document that you are referring to, the overview of the minister, was that there is going to be this program of recapitalization and development, which we are now fully rolling out in this current financial year.
Yeah, now, with the 800 or 500?
Yes, yes, Chairperson.
Which one is right?
No, just Chairperson, I was referring to two different reports. I was referring to the report of the
now
report.
That you understand, now one is right.
We have reconciled the two figures, Chairperson.
Somewhere in the middle now. You know, but you see, for us it's an important mark. When it is approximately between 500 and 800, then we may have 6,750 instead of 800 or 500. So that's why we wanted to certain now for next year. We must look at that report with the eyes of expecting 650 or 800 or 500. Which one is that?
Jefferson, well, I was completely reporting on a different number, the 503.
Yes. Yeah.
There is no specific target of number of projects that had to be recapitalized during the period under review here on this particular plan. I think there was an announcement that there will be a program, Chairperson, which is 800.
Really,
yeah, well, Chairperson.
Because since there has to be a budget, the minister will not say 800 farms have been identified for recapitalization if there's no budget. That's why I want you to confirm that.
Should not be an announcement in the document only. There should be a program that pursues that, personnel to implement that.
Chair, there is a program that was referred to, and there is a budget. All we are looking at, Chairperson, maybe let me put context to the recapitalization and development program. We are looking at everything we've acquired since 1994 to date, to say what is working, what is not working, what needs to be recapitalized. And I think here, the commission was saying, to date we have identified, of the total number of projects acquired since that time, we have approximately 800 that require recapitalization. In the interim strategic plan we tabled as a department, we then came with a specific number of 503 in a specific financial year to recapitalize and develop. Those include some of the 800, not all of the 800. Yes. Specifically 200.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Because my name is Lamana.
I think the report says we have, in the process of trying to identify how many projects will require recapitalization, under the year under review, we have identified 800. Now, within this year, because of the budget, then out of the 800 which we identified, and this is the ongoing process, because we're trying to identify, we have prioritized 200 to be supported this year. So there was an identification process, and there was then a prioritization, which means if we have a report for this current financial year, we will report on those 200 that have been prioritized.
I disagree, Chief. First of all, the commission is not... What program is the commission? Program 4. And program 5 identifies 503, as you said. Mm-hmm. Including that 200 of the commission.
Yes.
So 4 and 5 will do exactly the same job. Program 4 and program 5 will do exactly the same job, recapitalization. These ones will take 200
and you will take 503.
Chairperson, the number is the one, it is inclusive of the prioritized for the commission. But what is being said here, the commission focuses on the areas of priority that the Chief Land Claims Commissioner spoke about. But a dedicated unit dealing with everything, whether it's restitution or redistribution for recapitalization.
It's in program 5.
Yes, yes, Chairperson.
But why would they report that to under?
He just said no. Chairperson, we have to consider the resources that are available. I think for the interim strategic plan that we have tabled, we are looking at a total of 1,307 in total in the MTF. Yes, I may not be getting the figures correct, but we're looking at the MTF at that number over a period of 3 years. So we could not have said we'd recapitalize all 800 in financial year if we had projected to recapitalize the 1407 the chair is referring to. We could not have projected to recapitalize 400 in 1 year. We projected, 800 in 1 year. We projected 503, including those prioritized from restitution.
I don't disagree. The commissioner said, they will be reporting on 200. He said, I want to understand the relationship between the 200 and the 503 you speak about.
Okay. Chair, through you, as the commission, in terms of the projects that we deal with, we identified so far 800 that needs to be recapitalized. But we then prioritized the 200. And we took this 200 and we have given it to recapitalization and development for them to recapitalize. So we are like, they are service providers to us, if I have to put it in that term. And then when they've recapitalized, if we have to report, we then will have to report all the 200 that we have given to them. And in due section, check in terms of the other 303, which makes the 503. Then in terms of the land reform program, they will report on that. If the recapitalization and development, it will report on all the programs, projects that they would have recapitalized. But as a commission chair, in terms of what we have prioritized, it will be these 200. That's what I'm trying to say.
Where will the budget lie in program 5 or both program 4 and 5?
The budget is on program 5 because the recapitalization and development is on program 5.
You say program 5 will be a service provider to you and the budget is with them. How do you report on something that you have not done?
Because what has happened, Chair, is that in terms of our report, what is happening is that we are taking 25% of the department's budget for the recapitalization of all the projects. So which means even in the commissions, if we say we had budgeted 4 billion or something, 25% of that has to. So we have to account for that also. Yes, Chair.
There was a project the portfolio committee visited where we were told that the department commissioned the branch under environment that runs game parks. They were commissioned by the department to help a particular community as a service provider. And the department could not provide a report on the work done because the delays that were caused by that branch that they have an SLA with. As a result, the community suffered in that regard. We went to KZN, we went to a community called Bekeshowe. 2,000 hectares of tropical fruit and other things, including sugar cane, citrus, and other things. The service level agreement is with a private company to help the community. the chairperson of the CPA reported to us that they are not regarded as existing. They're just labor farm workers on their own land. The private company was running the show themselves. They buy and sell as they please. They've got a separate arm of their own company that exports the fruit harvested on the property. And they asked us to help them to overcome the problem. I'm using these as the practical examples of communities that are suffering because of this service level agreement you reach between yourself and the service providers. And if you can't show us in your operational plan how you strengthen the capacity of the commission to supervise and monitor those service level, those level agreements with your service providers, we have a problem. I'm using these examples only to show that your weakness is there. Remember, under Commissioner Mbela, we were told that you investigated 200 in the Western Cape alone of these co-management arrangements. Only 8 of them in the Western Cape were able to show profit sharing with the community. The rest did not. They were almost bankrupt. You remember the one in Limpopo? Where's the commissioner from Limpopo? The one that you asked Sizwe and Saluba and others to investigate, where the private companies asked you to give them 4 billion overdraft that they caused on the project. We cannot continue like this. It is not possible. You say to the state, to Treasury, give us more money for backlogs, but the money that you get goes down the drain. You are correct when you say it's sinking. We need to be sure as a committee that there is progress. We are not managing something that is sinking. At least the oversight responsibility of ours. We can't report to the nation via parliament something that is going down the drain. It's not our responsibility to do that. We need to have an effect, an impact on you to turn things around. Chief, you said the suspense account will be cleared in one financial year. I come from the Eastern Cape. I was in the EXCO. Education Department, ever since it was established, they hire private consultants to clear suspense account every year. There's no capacity building at all. I hope you are not telling us that.
Okay, Chair, I'm not saying that we'll be finishing 1 year. I'm not saying that. What we said was that we are going to deal with the agencies in terms of trying to trace the claimants. But it certainly wouldn't be finished in a year, sir.
During the time we were meeting with the petitioners for the Western Cape, we were told that some of these claimants die because of the delay. Well, for them, they were arguing from the point of view of rights foregone by communities and families. And there has to be a deadline, Chief, on when you clear the suspense account. Justice delayed is justice denied.
Chair, we'll come back with the date in terms of when it can be finalized.
Secretary of the committee, what is the list of documents that are outstanding is too much. You have been recording all these promises.
Presentation talk about the suspect's account as a matter of emphasis that was raised by the auditor. It's part of our turnaround, so it will be included in our turnaround plan because, like I said, we want to finalize this.
Yeah, I was improving on your promise when I asked your CFO whether we have a particular date for the clearing of the suspense accounts. He's making us a promise now, he's going to give us in writing. Do we wait for the turnaround strategy for that date, or do we wait for just the date from the CFO?
Chair, I think let's give you with the turnaround strategy, because we've got specific...
That's much better. Give us the date for the turnaround strategy.
Now, Chair, I'm saying the date for the final clearing of the suspense account will be included in the turnaround.
It's really long. If we not eat the turnaround strategy now.
Chair, you mean the date when we'll submit?
The turnaround strategy. You see, because we can't get the date for the clearing of the suspense account from the CFO, because it will be included in the turnaround strategy. Now we want to know, when are we receiving the turnaround?
The acting DG says I must say end of the reason being, Chair, that it's the strategy that is a component of a broader strategy. We have developed it for the Commission. We're still taking it to our management and to the Minister, Chair, because it's got serious financial implications and all that. So I think the consultation and the approval will be done by November. And we'll finish.
No, not yet.
November.
Yes, Chair.
Yes,
Chair.
Thank you, November. Kumla, are we going to be in the session?
No.
November. So Parliament is not... Bring it forward by 6 days, 24th November. 6 days won't make a difference.
Chair, I hear you, but you remember that strategy is the one that would have to be formally tabled early next year to this committee as well.
So?
I'm just saying.
Don't say that. No, but you see, Chief, it is an important matter for this committee. Remember, many members of the committee are doing constituency work, going to go for campaigning, for local government elections, and all these other things. If we have enough time to read the document, it makes the participation in this committee alive. So if 6 days only is the difference to you, we'll get this document next year. And by the time we get the document next year, everybody is going to be running all over the show for elections and local government. And then we'll not do justice to our oversight function. Give us on the 24th of November. And I'm not suggesting now, that's the final ruling. Thank you very much. Surveyor General, this is now our appointment, eventually. We've been looking forward to meeting you for quite some time now. There are specific questions that the Auditor General did engage us on the surveying of, what is it, immovable property. There are three areas that we're concerned about. The Constitution gives the responsibility of surveying of the South African soil to the Department of National Land Affairs. But there are specific areas that we're concerned within that context. First, that part is a qualification for the department. They say you are unable to do this work. That's the first one. The second one is that Ingonyama Trust Board reported to us that they need 50 million to do this work for you. And the rates, what is that act for municipalities? For rates? Property Rates Act of municipalities requires the municipalities to do that function. And Ingonyama Trust tells us that they would rather not do it if the municipalities will do it. Now, then became a tussle between the Auditor General and Ingonyama Trust. Ingonyama Trust says, we can value because they've done the surveys. Remember, this is what they report. They said we can value our properties based on this, on what the land is used for. But if the municipalities can do that for us, there's no point in us doing it. But the last thing is that we have been told that Public Works, yourselves, Treasury, together with the Auditor General, agreed that there will be a period when you will help each other to do that. Treasury and Public Works have moved out of that situation and left you alone to do this work for local government, provincial government, and the nation. When is it going to be done, Chief? And whose responsibility is it?
Thanks, Chairperson. I wish I could have been prepared for this, but I think I can respond. Firstly, on the issue of Ingonyama Trust, I was not aware of their reporting and the costs of surveying the Ingonyama Trust land. Secondly, surveying it's not the responsibility of municipalities. If I may add, municipalities around the country do not have capacity to do that. We do not have sufficient professional land surveyors in South Africa to start with. So one, in terms of Ingonyama Trust, would want to probably engage them in terms of where do they get the figures and then how can we assist each other, you know, in making sure we deal with the Ingonyama Trust land. I know it's around KZN. I think we do have plans of some of their properties in one of our offices in Pietermaritzburg and also in my office in Pretoria. Maybe one needs to engage in Ingonyama Trust around that. The other point you raised, it was the task team that was formed between ourselves, National Treasury, Auditor General, and Public Works. Yes, apparently I have been left alone, but what I have been doing recently was, before I could sort of, commit government how much of land needs to be surveyed, you know, state land, also an alienated state land that needs to be transferred to the correct departments. So we've got two different, two distinctions. We've got unsurveyed state land. We've got unalienated state land. Unalienated state land could be land that has been surveyed but no ownership. But no one can claim except the state to say this land belongs to the state. I'm saying it's not registered in the deeds office to say it belongs to Department of Public Works or Department of Land Affairs. It's just state land not registered. It could be. I mean, it could be anywhere. It could be anywhere. Part of your trust land, when there was demarcation of your former homelands and the then apartheid government, there could be pockets of land lying, you know, around, without it being transferred. So we're still doing that desktop analysis in my office, where we're superimposing all state land versus the private land. So we're using data from the deeds office and data from the chief surveyor general's office, basically from all the surveyor general office around the country. We're trying to create layers to see the gaps. So it's a task that we're hoping to complete before the end of November, before we can commit, you know, government. But besides that, we have already started surveying pockets of land in the Eastern Cape that were not registered. We'll be starting around November, December. The tenders are out for surveying of land and also state domestic facilities in the Mpumalanga area. And then the third project will be the Limpopo in this particular financial year, since I've taken over that responsibility from Program 5. So we recently took that responsibility. Now we'll be serving certain portions around Mpumalanga and the Eastern Cape, and then Limpopo will then follow in this financial year. But Chair, I want to say that once we have analyze all the data from DEED's office and Surveyors General where we separate private land from state land. And the state land that I'm talking about, it includes municipalities, parastatals, all departments of public works, education, you name them. So we're trying to make sure that analysis should actually move us forward and be able to say to government, this is what government owns in terms of the books in South Africa. And this is what is used for in terms of the records received from different departments. And then we say, this is the amount of land that needs to be surveyed. Because you go to your former homelands, people have already built mansions. Somebody went there and cut those pieces of land, you know, using chains or whatever. They're not surveyed. You know? if you use the navigation system driving around rural areas of KZN or Eastern Cape, you'll see, next to you, you'll see sort of a development, people staying there, whether it's a township or a settlement. It don't appear on your navigation system. Why? It's because it's not surveyed. So we also be identifying such areas. But I must say, Chair, you know, in terms of capacity, in South Africa, what happens, most professional land surveyors are operating in private sector. So we do not have enough capacity as government to do that work. So we work in partnership with private land surveyors. That I must say. But we do have strategy to make sure that we increase as a department. I think it was reported on the annual report to increase the number of land surveyors in South Africa. I don't know whether I've covered that.
Is this office working in this project?
Yes. In the desktop analysis, we're working with this.
We were told here that some members of the DEED's offices across the country are falsifying records.
Yeah, now where's the chief register? Yes.
The reason why I'm raising this point is because if you work with them, it has to be made sure that the work that their records that they supply to you should be authenticated. We have submitted to the minister some records to indicate in one municipality, for instance, called Gouha, the former Jeffreys Bay in Eastern Cape, the municipality 95, immediately 95, after 94, they sold most of their land to private people. And that land is now in your books recorded as private. And those private people, we have given the record to show, Mr. Kebekulu is my neighbor. Me and my wife and Mr. Kebekulu establish a trust. We buy a piece of ground from his property for a fraction of the amount. We go to the bank and borrow money. We know the name of the bank that did this in 6 properties. We borrow money from the bank, 2 million in one case, 3 million in another case. We never pay or service that loan because the bank will take that property. And then we use the money to go and buy something else or do some other business elsewhere. So in your books, it will reflect as private property, whereas it is state property, stolen. So the process that you are going to go through has to be a thorough process, because some of us have information that state land is being stolen.
Honorable Shabane here will tell you that they've got a case of some of your officials, not in the Surveyor General's office, but in the state, that buy farms in the name of beneficiaries and register it in fictitious names. Maybe it's already surveyed, but the issue is that the records in this office will be falsified. So it's an important matter for us. But the Bantustan issue is a great problem. It's a huge headache. So if it will be important for us to see that strategy in November.
It's actually a report, just a report on the status quo of the two information from DITS and Surveyor General Office, and probably recommendations out of that report to say this is the way we hope we can sort of deal with the matter. On the issues of incorrect information, we have always maintained that when things are registered in the DITS office, you need certain documents, like for instance consent for subdivision, and all of that. In the Surveyor General's office, no diagram will be approved without an authority, giving consent to that. But in the DITS office, it's different. But Chair, I don't want to speak on behalf of the Chief Register of DITS to start with. But in identifying some of the weaknesses in the system, as a department, we're currently engaged in a project that we want it to sort of assist us to create security around, especially both systems, Correctional Surveys and DITS, Surveyor Generals and the DITS. It's going to be an electronic e-cadaster, we call it e-cadaster, which we have already started with the enterprise architect in this financial year, but it's the planning phase. And we hope in the next coming 3 years that project will be able to assist us. One of the key elements of that project is to extract intelligent information out of a title deed. For instance, the title deed will only bear history about the previous owner, but it won't tell you about the other previous owners. If, for instance, transactions happen on one property over the last 3 years, the last 3 years, you won't be able to see that in a title deed. But now, what we're aiming to do now is to, when we do, we'll be doing the back scanning title deeds as far as back as 10 years maybe, but we extract information out of it so that we can create history. So once we do that, we'll be able to pick up these challenges where state property has been transferred to private hands. Like it happened sometime this year in the DITS office, where an official was trying to transfer state property into a private company. But now he did not have the official did not have the proper rights, to transfer that. And then the supervisor picked it up. So those things are happening. But now, if you have, a history of information on a particular property, if there's exchange hands between all of us around the table, our database should be able to indicate that Muso River was once a property owner. He bought this property for this much and that. Currently, our system doesn't have that. You have to go and physically go through papers. And it's not management user friendly, but we are trying to address such things.
Will you be able in this context to identify land owned by foreigners? Remember, there's a specific concern in the rest of the country about this matter. majority of the people are speaking on this matter don't know the extent on which the land is owned by foreigners.
I think on foreign land ownership, I think the green paper that the department is currently dealing with will be addressing such things. As such, the Chief Surveyor General and the Chief Register of Deeds are going to be part of that group that will be dealing with the green paper, the land commissions that are proposed there, you know, the Surveyor General and the Register of Deeds will be playing a role. So I'm saying the green paper will be addressing that. So meaning the systems that we'll be creating will also be in line with the green paper.
In one of the South African languages, there's a saying, because we cannot pin our hopes on solutions provided by the green paper when the green paper itself is not complete. We want to know whether in your November report, will you be able to have a strategy how you deal with that issue?
Thanks, Chair. Maybe we can look into that, but the report or the analysis won't be able to reveal, you know, foreign.
It will only say private.
Yeah, it will say private.
But in the record, it won't say South African or non-South African.
Yeah, you see, Chair, as I said, the project that we want to start, the e-cadaster, will be concentrating on extracting intelligence out of a title deed. But the report that I'll be providing end of November, it's not about e-cadaster. It's a separate report where we're doing analysis just to checking how much of land owned by state in different categories.
Good that we kept on talking, although I was uncomfortable with the fact that we're talking to each other. But I'm happy you did this because we just passed a bill here in the House. It's now an act coming from your department on the registration even for part ownership of a property. You remember that? That information should be available from the deeds office. Remember, they were talking about, you were talking about, if a property is, say, for instance, sectional title, all the people who lay claim on any property, even within the sectional title, should reveal their names, the extent of the ownership, and their identities. So you can't say you can't get the foreigners. Their nationalities will be revealed by their IDs. Okay, I didn't know. Oh, okay. First of all, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry I was late this morning. I just came in from Bloemfontein. Surveyor General, I think you may have already answered my question, but I'm going to just make sure by re-asking. My understanding of this portfolio with relation to the ownership of state land is that there has been an effort to do an audit of state-owned land for a very long time, and it hasn't come to fruition, and that combined with the aggressive acquisition of land by the state, there is a lack of knowledge about how much is in the state's hand to date. So the technologies that you are referring to, which will enable you to capture lots of information and do a retrogressive investigation into previous owners, will it enable you to then complete the process of auditing state land ownership sooner? And then on the question of foreign ownership, I understand that Thabo Didiza, when she was the minister, commissioned a report in 2004 on the ownership of on the ownership of South African land by foreigners. How is that report compiled if you have any knowledge, if this kind of technology was unavailable? And why has it not been updated since? Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Maybe I should wait for other questions.
You're not saying.
See, that is the area which we get voted.
Mhlamba singakunceda as uchazile ukuthi umhlaba uma ureflecta kumabhukweni awuveli as a foreigner. Yeah. So njengoba thina singamamembe ephalamente esideployed kuma-constituents wethu sinawo lawo ma-question ebantwini ukuthi kungani lo mhlaba othile u-onwa yi-foreigner, umhlaba othile and siyawazi sonke sina mhlawumbe yithi singamamemba esingakunceda if wena ungaludinga uncedo lethu usibuze usicele ukuthi ngicela ukubuza econstituency ethile ngizothola ukuthi zingaki or uthuma abantu bakho bazothola zingaki iy'tende onamafolini bazibhale phansi ukwazi uku-identifya kahle-ke ngayinye ngayinye i-constituency kusho ukuthi kusekuzoba i-assignment yakho-ke leyo kunikazi suzoqala-ke manje usebenze ba ningasebenzinganazi siqala ukubona namhlanje uqala-ke namhlanje usebenze uthuma abantu kuma-constituency bayo thola ukuthi yiphi ikhonsinseleleni ezingazi zamafolini uzithoyela zithi athola kanjani amafolini ngoba ngempela ngempela lento iyasilimaza amakhonsinseleleni abantu bayakhala
sibacindezele ngamafolini. Asikaze siyenze le nto ukuthi i-point of order. U-Surveyor General is saying they are currently doing desktop analysis. That is phase 2 or 3 that you are talking about, the participation of the citizens. There's another component of that strategy that will require the members of the community and public in general to declare if it's a stolen property. They say it's an amnesty process. and that part is the later component. So, Surveyor General Unga Soup.
Thanks, Chair. I think partly I have, you know, answered your questions, but just to emphasize the fact that the state land audit, it's a huge exercise. I think at some point a report on state land audit was tabled this parliament, but that was mainly for land parcels that were under the Department of Rural Development. Land affairs then. So it was around 220,000 land parcels, not the entire state. Why we couldn't do the entire state? It's because of, you know, the laws in the country where public works will tell you this property belongs to us. Education will tell you this property belongs to us. So you do not have control over that. But now this desktop analysis that we're currently doing, we're looking at everything. We'll even then make recommendations to different departments to say, can we please, or can you please allow us to, you know, to do this particular work? Yes, you'll be consulted in terms of the information that you'll be having. So, the audit itself, the way we have done it previously, if we have to do it for the rest of the country, we will make recommendations. We'll even put the costs thereof. But I'm saying we're not yet there. We'll wait for the report, the November report. And in terms of foreign land ownership, a commission that was commissioned by the then Minister of Land Affairs. I don't know whether the DG wants to come in, but recommendations were made. Nothing was implemented in the DIT's office about those who are buying land to identify themselves as foreign or not. So that was not implemented, but the details of that report, maybe the DG wants to talk about it.
Thanks. No, you are correct. The panel made recommendations. the recommendations were not fully implemented. One of the things that it would have required was a legislation that would demand of South Africa, of all anybody who owns land, to declare their nationality. And currently in the deeds office, that system, the system does not require that people say they are foreigners or the South African nationals. That is the flaw that needs to be corrected in the legislation and in the registration system. Hence, in as much as the panel was able to identify some of the land and the categories, you are unable with certainty to say this is the amount of land and where that is owned by so many foreigners. The system as it is does not immediately give that, provide for that information as it is currently designed. The reason was that after 1994 there was a requirement of removing racial classification. When that happened, there was that distinction as well. That is why we also can't say how much agricultural land is owned by black South Africans, how much is owned by white South Africans, because there isn't that classification in the deed system.
Surveyor General, it's a pity because it will help us a great deal as a committee to have you both here with this Chief Register of Deeds. You see, because even if the piece of land is owned by a private company, CIPRO will be able to tell you who owns that private company. And the nationality will be in the owners, because whether it's a private company owned by trust, the trust will be registered in somebody else's name. Or the lawyers may establish a blind trust, but the lawyers would be able to know who are the owners of the blind trust. There's no reason why the state should not know who owns us. 60% of the companies in the stock exchange are owned by one company. They tell us what to eat, what to wear, where to live, how big our houses are, where to bank. We need to know who those people are. Same applies to the land, because they direct us where we plant our food, where we look after animals, where we mine. We need to know that. Thank you very much. We'll make an appointment through the DG to meet you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, the meeting is adjourned. Mataba, Sierra Lua, now I need to hear Malaw. Please, those people who are not going to Malawi must leave the room. You are not going to Malawi, leave the room. From Bumalanga.
I'm not going to Malawi, but I'm not leaving.
Yes, we have to go. Yeah. Yeah, one. Take the chair. Take the chair, Pumla. Take the chair.
Chair. There is nothing much that I wanted to check to say, Chair, except for saying if members are they comfortable with this program, they don't want to make any input on it, so that we can still forward it to Malawi. Yes.
There are three problems in the program. Three. The first program. I know that Pumla were not a foreigner here because the portfolio committee said to you, we welcome the 5 days to be spent in Malawi. Even some of us agreed without even looking at the document.